Welcome to worship at High Street this Good Friday, as we remember our Saviour's death upon the cross, a perfect sacrifice that paid the price for our sin and made us right with God, our Heavenly Father. The service today and our Easter celebration service is led by our friend, Reverend James Skinner. Thank you. Easter Sunday starts with Easter breakfast at 8:30 and continues with our service and Holy Communion at 10:30. Please make sure you sign up for the breakfast if you're coming, and join us after the service today for refreshments and a hot cross bun. Reflection. All the people on this hill. All the people on this hill, what brings them here? Old and young, citizen and stranger, come to watch. But what do they see? A man dying? Brutal. But justice is rough these days. Tough luck, mate. Life is cheap around here. A spectacle, entertainment for the masses. A bit of lurid violence to colour up the week. A commonplace event, not much to do. So we'll watch the crucifixion. Then we'll wander back for a drink and a game of dice. Or, more than a man, a tragic figure, a lost cause, or the end of the last of the prophets, or God. But how could this be God, hanging on a cross, life's blood trickling away, a son, a brother, a teacher, a friend, all the people who climbed the hill, just a few were wondering if God could be here. But who would ever believe it?
Good morning. We continue in worship as we sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," 287.
Sorrow meet, or thorns come.
release it. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-present God, we worship you for what you are. We rejoice in the knowledge that we have of you, and we recall with awe and wonder your power in creation, your wisdom, holiness, and majesty. We praise you that you have revealed yourself to us, and above all that, we see you in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, yet one of us. We praise you that in him we see our eternal God, stooping, living, loving, and dying, that we might live. Almighty and ever-present God, we worship and adore you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. God, forgive us for the inhumanity that makes us bomb and blast and see people as collateral damage. God, forgive us for the inhumanity that imprisons, disappears, or kills those who do not fit our point of view. And God, forgive us for the inhumanity that makes slaves of other cultures to put food and flowers on our table. God, forgive us the inhumanity that put Jesus on the cross. And forgive us, even when we know what we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We join together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Gracious and eternal God, look with mercy on this your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was content to be betrayed and given up into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who is alive and glorified with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're now led in our Lent liturgy.
The crucifixion of Jesus. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There, they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in our imagination, we kneel at the foot of your cross. No words can express our feelings, and so we keep silence in remembrance. Lord Jesus, again we look in wonder at your cross and the life you gave for us. We cannot grasp that we could be loved so much. Cause us to be a people who remember that this is how much we are loved, and that this same love was poured out for every person. And empower us to love, prize, and treasure others as those you lay down your life for. Amen. And now we sing, "There is a green hill far away."
That we might be forgiven, he died. The reading is from Isaiah 52, starting at verse 13 and going through all of 53. The Lord says, "My servant will succeed. He will be given great praise and the highest honors. Many were horrified at what happened to him, but everyone who saw him was even more horrified because he suffered until he no longer looked human. My servant will make nations worthy to worship me. Kings will be silent as they bow in wonder. They will see and think about things they have never seen or thought about before. Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or a root that sprouts in dry ground, the servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him attractive to us. He was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, 'He's a nobody.' He suffered and endured great pain for us, but we thought his suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that had wandered off. We had each gone our own way, but the Lord gave him the punishment we deserved. He was painfully abused, but he did not complain. He was silent, like a lamb being led to the butcher, as quiet as a sheep having its wool cut off. He was condemned to death without a fair trial. Who could have imagined what would happen to him? His life was taken away because of the sinful things my people had done. He wasn't dishonest or violent, but he was buried in a tomb among cruel, rich people. The Lord decided his servant would suffer as a sacrifice to take away the sin and guilt of others. Now the servant will live to see his own descendants. He did everything the Lord had planned. By suffering, the servant will learn the true meaning of obeying the Lord. Although he is innocent, he will take the punishment for the sins of others, so that many of them will no longer be guilty. The Lord will reward him with honor and power for sacrificing his life. Others thought he was a sinner, but he suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us."
Bear well the hurt, suffering Lord. Now you know it all. The pain that grips the body in untimely death. The agony of bloody wounds. The tortured limbs. And that deep sense of frail humanity. Forsaken, Lord, you know it all. Rejection at the hands of men. The fleeing footsteps of once close friends. The clink of 30 pieces in the purse. The callous glance of soldiers' eyes committed to cold duty. Neglect and scorn, pressed hard within the hour of need, and a devastating loss of God. Lonely Lord, you know it all. The scapegoat's banishment, the visionary's isolation, the curt dismissal of an alien world, and the pain-filled misunderstanding of those called friends. Suffering, forsaken, lonely Lord, bear well the hurt, the pain, the loss for us and for all human seed. The world must have just one obedient to the end, the chosen one. Thanks be to God. Hymn number 166, God of Unexampled Grace.
Today is the most solemn day in the Christian calendar. It is when we recall our Lord's crucifixion. Some churches mark this day by listening again to the Passion story. Others carry a wooden cross around the streets. Some nail nails into the wood where the hands and feet of Jesus would have been. All this is a very chilling reminder of the horrendous brutality of this method of killing people. And there is something awful about the sound of metal on metal. As we reflect in silence on these awful day's events, all the gospel writers would emphatically say something more than these terrible things was happening. And today I want to explore St. Matthew's account, and in particular chapter 27 and verse 42, where he records these words about Jesus. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Today, many like to know how things work in the greatest detail. There is a TV program which I think Hannah Fry presents, and in the series that have already been broadcast, she's explored the meaning of technology behind certain common day things like our bank cards, virtual assistants, smartphones, headphones, air fryers. But when we come to the crucifixion of Jesus, we encounter something that we cannot begin to explain in exact terms. It is a mystery we could only just begin to understand. I want to explore three aspects of the Good Friday story to leave you with today. The first comes under the heading, From Cheers to Taunts. From Cheers to Taunts. Do we find ourselves easily drawn along by the crowd? Can we take an independent stand? Do we take stands on matters of principle? The story of Holy Week shows how easy it is for views to change according to which way the wind is blowing, the company we are in. It is easy both to shout Hosanna when everyone else is cheering on Palm Sunday, and later that same week to join with the crowd in taunting Jesus on the cross. Do we take on the attitudes of the crowd we are with, speaking and acting one way with our Christian friends at church, then differently in other company, when at work or down at the club? Our words may not actually deny Jesus, but the way we behave, our attitudes may do so. And let us not think that living many years after these events makes us immune from responsibility for the Good Friday events. In a very real sense, fare for the grace of God go I. Our denials, our jeers, even at this distance of time, are very real, and our Lord still feels them even now. So from cheers to taunts. And then the second reflection, just one more miracle, just one more miracle. The crowd's taunt to Jesus, come down off the cross and we will believe. Do you recall at the beginning of Lent, we remember Jesus being tempted. And one suggestion put to Jesus by the tempter was to use his power to do a wonderful act, an act drawing everybody's attention to him. He was to jump off the temple And the tempter even found a quote from the Bible to support his view that God's angels would come bearing him up so he didn't hurt himself. Now, Jesus' answer to the tempter is, you mustn't put God to the test. Jesus did not use miracles to encourage belief. At the cross, there is no sensational event, no attempt to show off his powers, no coming down off the cross in power and glory with Elijah to prove who he is. Just an awful death. And the fact he does not save himself is more powerful. But we believe Jesus died for us. So how can we begin to understand this? One way that Jesus' death has been described is as an atonement. It's a little easier to grasp the word's meaning if the word is split into three. At one moment. Jesus is at one with the human situation. He's undergoing the punishment that should have come our way from our disobedience to God. And the consequences of people doing their own thing is to create barriers between people and God. And on the cross, Jesus not only felt rejection of his own people. His disciples had run away. One had denied him, another betrayed him. He felt the rejection of God. He experienced the barrier human wrongdoing had put between people and God. He was saving others by suffering there. As the hymn writer put it, we may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. Just one more miracle was the cry from the crowd, almost for entertainment. And today in our own world, we still look for the spectacular. However, the way of the entertainer is not God's way. Jesus, even in his darkest moment, remains faithful to God, to his calling, to the suffering servant. And so through his suffering, humanity may be healed. Just one more miracle. The crowds taunt to Jesus, come down off the cross and we will believe. And then the third reflection, triumph in death. The crucifixion is not an awful mistake put right on Easter Sunday, nor simply the necessary prelude to resurrection. The mystery is that death on the cross is triumph. John, in his passion account, takes a different emphasis, saying, in the cross we see God's glory. When Jesus is lifted up, we see the greatness of God's glory. On the cross, we see the great extent of God's love. And it is the paradox of the cross. At what people would consider the lowest moment of a person's life. This is the summit of God's achievement. Amazing love shown to triumph over people's profound wickedness. When we look at the cross, we both feel the full horror of the event, but also sing songs of praise too. The last hymn we shall sing is by Thomas Kelly, which appropriately is sung, in which are explored some of the great themes of the cross. And appropriately, we sing it to the tune Church Triumphant. And the second verse outlines these most effectively. Inscribed upon the cross, we see in shining letters, God is love. He bears our sins upon the tree. He brings us mercy from above. The victory of the cross Jesus brings is all these things, taking our guilt away, putting our living onto a new basis. He saved others, but he can't save himself. On Good Friday, we see God in a human frame, sharing in the deepest human sufferings, transforming them, creating through them a means through which all people can live richer and fuller lives. The hymns about Jesus' passion explore the deep meaning of Jesus' suffering on Good Friday. And we've just sung one of Charles Wesley's great hymns about the passion. I'll just take you back to verse 2 again. Endless scenes of wonder rise from that mysterious tree, crucified before our eyes, where our Maker, we our Maker see. Jesus, Lord, what hast thou done? Publish we the death divine. Stop and gaze and fall and own. Was never love like thine. How this happens remains in part a mystery, leaving us lost for words. But we can watch, wonder, gratefully accept its consequences of what our Lord has done for us. The jeering crowd got something right. He saved others. He still does. The question each needs to ask, do we allow him to save us? Amen. We go to a modern writer, to Graham Kendrick, as we sing his hymn, come and see the King of Love.
Come and mourn for your sin that pierced. so much deeper than the wounds of thorn and nail. All our pride, all our greed, all our fallenness and shame, and the Lord has laid the punishment on him.
There is a response on the screen for you to follow. Please join in. Today, let us pray for places that need healing. Jesus, Saviour, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we come to you, for you alone can make us whole. Jesus, Saviour, wounded for our failings, bruised for our wrongdoings. We come to you, for you alone can make us whole. Jesus, Saviour, we come as a church broken by factions, in our mission and wavering in our, we come to you, for you alone can make us whole. Jesus, Saviour, we come as people of the world, torn by war, ruined by greed, and spoiled by selfishness. We come to you, for you alone can make us whole. Jesus, Saviour, we come as members of a family, insensitive to each other, and blind to tears and deaf to cries. We come to you, for you alone can make us whole. Lord, in Jesus, you gave everything for us. He embraced the limitations of human life, accepting the risks, the self-surrender, the pain of love. The Son of God became man for us. His perfect loving brought him to the cross, for we found such loving too much to accept. Lord, help us not to reject you and your love, even though it is hard to grasp the enormity of the gift of yourself. Lord, you are our God. We are your people. Pour your love into our lives that we too may be able to give all for you, for one another, for the world, for the sake of our crucified Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. We now sing our final hymn. We sing the praise of Him Who Died. Your hands, it was hands like yours that were nailed to the cross. Look at your feet, it was feet like yours that stumbled their way to Calvary. Look into the eyes of your neighbours, it was for ones like these that Jesus was crucified. Look at yourself. It was for you that Jesus died. Let us share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.